Well then, Liz.
Okay. That was me beeping.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
I have about to jump finishing up.
I'm gonna test those.
Okay, so let's see. All right, so it's just 7. So, what do you think?
Yeah, Tessa's just coming on.
Oh, okay. Okay, we could get. So, let's see.
I think we can get started.
Oh yeah. Okay, so we'll open the meeting for the Nellis work meeting. I can't even think. Today's June 30th, and it's 7 o'clock, and so the meeting is open. And thank you everybody for attending, and especially you, Lee. And how about it?
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
We had a really good chat last time, I thought, and it gave me some direction as to how to make this both better and simpler. And of some changes that we needed to do in the general plan as well as in the ordinance language that we were looking at. So I started the memo to you this time with some thoughts about the general plan. And if, Peg, if you could crank it up to the page before the page you've got showing. Yeah. Even there. Yeah. Okay. So we started talking about making some changes in the general plan before. Go down one more page, please. There. Got you. Okay. And we concluded that we were going to talk as explicitly as we could about why Boulder is regulating land use the way it does. And so the language that you have there, you're seeing on Peg's screen, as part of its effort to maintain its special character, Boulder will not engage in speculative commercial industrial zoning. We had that from before, and now if you can go down a bit, Peg. There would be two sets of performance standards, keep on going down. And so we explained how we were going to do commercial in general. And I did have a note there that at some point it would be helpful to add a map of the existing commercial properties. And there's a question about whether there are some businesses that predate zoning at all and are in the commercial zoning district but don't actually have a CUP. I'm going to say that I'm not be surprised if there's a couple of businesses like that, but it would be really good to know which ones they are. But then in order to talk about the conclusion that we reached 2 weeks ago, I added language you see there, which is that attaining the goals of the plan, we have to regulate the scale of commercial development consistent with the town's character, that the dimensional limits that a lot of communities use are not going to help much in Boulder, and so that the best way to do this would be to work backward from parking, which has a definite visual, environmental, and traffic infrastructural impact on things, and is less arbitrary than saying, well, there will only be 30 units in a motel or other arbitrary standards. And I had given you some examples of how other communities have fought with arbitrary standards when we talked last time. And then besides that addition of Chapter 7, Peg, if you could move on just a ways here, it seemed to me that we ought to make the language of the general plan and to some extent the language of the zoning ordinance be as consistent as we could. So what I'm changing here is not a whole lot of substance, but an attempt to get this all into saying the same thing the same way over and over again so it's consistent. And so we talk about small-scale home businesses. I took cottage type industry out because it's really hard to define that, and expanded on home businesses a little bit. It It said formerly that all commercial development on major streets in the town should reflect and promote Boulder's entity and character. I thought, well, I don't see how it matters whether a project is on a major street or not. And they should all reflect Boulder's identity and character. So I edited that. And this is a place where there may be some homework. If you could go just a bit on further down there, please, Peg. Under Chapter 12, Public Facilities and Services, one of the arguments we're making over and over again is that Boulder really doesn't have the infrastructure to support large numbers of residences or visitors. And so I took the existing language that was there that was a good start and added a bit to it, but also took a bunch away so that it just rang more clear. And there's no need to repeat an inventory of services or infrastructure in a policy statement. But what would be really good is if the Planning Commission members reread Chapter 12 in the general plan, not so much the policies as the part that describes the existing services, and make sure that what the plan says there in Chapter 12 is accurate about the existing services. Because you know, the infrastructure, the public services, the ability to manage large numbers of anything is a major argument we're making, and so we want to have the information that's in the general plan be as current as it possibly can be. So if one or more of you could take it on yourself to read that part of Chapter 12 that says, here's the services we've already got, that would be great. And then we can amend the plan to be more accurate if we need to. So that's what I did with the general plan, was I'm just trying to make it clear why we are doing what we are doing. And I would be happy to see if people have questions or thoughts about what I've done with the plan here before we move on to talking about the commercial use standards. Questions, thoughts?
Makes sense to me.
I tried to keep it really simple. I did, but I'm happy to adjust it so that it's either more clear or more accurate. And again, if you guys reread Chapter 12, and there is something in that description that's not right, then we need to make it right.
Okay. Yeah.
Didn't hard to do.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Everybody can take a look at it and see what they think, and you know, we can add comments to it later.
Right. Right. Yeah, I just think that since we are doing this work right now, we can't rewrite the general plan in its entirety. And we don't need to rewrite the general plan in its entirety. There are a lot of parts of it that are good. But when you get down to factual things, like the facts about what public facilities and services are available, then it is worthwhile updating that if we need to. Not hard to do. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, you know, the thing is we don't have a lot of services to offer. It would be nice to know exactly what we have because it is so small and limited
here. Well, you know, Chapter 12, at the beginning of Chapter 12, the general plan includes a description of what was there then. And
yeah.
I think you need to go through that and say, okay, and once you tell me that it is either accurate or that it needs to be changed, I will make the necessary changes, and then we can talk about whether we want to do even more about the limitations on the services. But I think this language in the plan, which is not a big change from what was there, just really reinforces one of the good reasons we're doing we're doing. Anything else about the possible changes to the plan? Obviously, we will have another shot at all this, but I want to get it as close to happy as we can. Well, Hearing none, then I've got another issue I want to bring up in between here. When I first started working with Boulder 2 years ago, people said, well, everybody's going to get really angry if we talk about the design of buildings. So don't write up any standards or ideas about the design of buildings. And I have mostly refrained from that. But then, because I wanted to make sure that what I was doing here in these commercial use standards captured everything that was already in the zoning ordinance, I started reading the zoning ordinance very closely, and I came in Chapter 10 onto this subsection G on building design. And Peg, if you go back up to the very first page of the memo, you will see the language of that. And everyone can read it. It's not long, but it's pretty sweeping. The design of all building facades should be consistent with the natural and or historical designs currently within the town. Planning Commission shall, if necessary, request the developer to provide an analysis of how a particular design is compatible and complementary to the existing or historical design pattern of the town, the use of shapes, color, and other characteristics that cause new buildings to call excessive attention to themselves and create a jarring disharmony shall be avoided. And that's great as long as somebody else will volunteer to write the definitions of excessive attention and jarring disharmony. So I have not added anything in here to address this. I have only made the changes that we discussed we might make last time. But before we're through, you need to decide if you want to have that in the zoning ordinance. And if you don't want to have that exact language, which is pretty striking, if you still want to have the idea, then we need to talk about that and do something about it. And we can. But I just wanted everyone, it's awfully easy to get lost in any zoning ordinance, folders, or anyone else's. There's so many details. And I wasn't sure if anybody remembered this, and I certainly did not remember this from the first time that I went through the thing. I was looking for other issues, and this didn't jump out at me. But once I started looking closely, it did jump out at me. And so after we've gotten the other standards to a good draft form, we need to have you guys say one way or the other what you want to do about the substitute building design. You can drop it all together, and we'll propose eliminating this, amending it out. You can say, hey, that language is difficult, but what could we do instead? And we can work on that. But I don't want to get into a discussion of that right at the moment because we have other work to do tonight that's easier to do. But since it's in the ordinance already, we've got to deal with it and decide how.
Well, it's really, I do have to make a comment on that because when I hear that excessive attention and jarring disharmony, I have very distinct images in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm sure, like, maybe, I don't know, I don't know if anybody else does, but it is interesting. I mean, I can see those definitions, but maybe, you know, that's my own personal definition, and so that's kind of what's wrong with it, correct? So everybody, because everybody will have their own personal concept of what excessive attention.
A jarring disharmony might not turn out to be the same thing.
Exactly.
And exactly. So we need, and here's the downside of this from a really practical point of view is let's say that I decide to build my garden center that I always use as an example of what I would build in Boulder, and decide that I would like to make my building colorful in order to market my garden center and what I have to sell there. And so I put up a regular old steel building, but I put a facade on it that is multicolored. You know, it's a form of artwork, perhaps, if you imagine it as favorably as possible. But, you know, if I've got a series of colorful steel panels bolted to the side of the building in a pattern, is that calling excessive attention to my garden center, or is it just good design? I don't know. I guess I'd have to work really hard to make that a jarring disharmony. But I suppose I could. And so there's no guidance here. I mean, the whole point is to provide a person who wants to do something in Boulder with guidance about what they can and should not do. And this doesn't help very much. So what we would, you know, if you don't want to drop the idea altogether, and you might not, then what we need to talk about is, okay, what type of guidance can we give a person, you know, in historic districts, it's often guidance about certain features of historic buildings that ought to be carried over and used in new buildings. Boulder certainly has some history, but it doesn't have an architectural history that lends itself to that very well. We might have to go back to relying on something like you're going to use the types of materials that are available locally. That becomes really super hard then, because for most people who are going to do a small business, the most practical thing to put up in a relative for remote location in a small town is steel. So maybe we want them to cover up the steel, I don't know. But we want it to be, whatever it is, if it's anything at all, we want it to be so that someone can get a practical vision from it of saying, hey, this is it. And then, you know, we will have taken our own internal personal definitions of excessive attention or jarring disharmony and tried to out them into something that hopefully anybody can understand.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's work on that later, and let's go down now to Appendix B here, if we could, and talk about the standards. And we had a really good conversation about this last time, I felt. And so what you see is my interpretation of what we talked about. And it's up to you to tell me whether I interpreted more or less correctly or not. And I'm going to point out, first off, that there's a numbering error in the memo that you received, so the numbers in the final version will not be quite the same, but that's okay. I sent you a checklist a little later on, so you can follow along in the checklist if you want to just go with the titles of things rather than the text. And I'm going to focus on what we talked about last time, which falls under items 6 and then going on down to item 11. So talk about 6 and 11. And I'll talk about those two parts of the deal, and then we can come back anything else that people want to hit and make sure they understand or feel comfortable with the language. So in item 6, if we can go on down to, let's see, or are we in commercial use? Go back to 5. Oh, this is the old, this is the last, this is not.
Wait a minute.
What am I looking at here? And I'll go back on down. Let's go see if this, go all the way down to where 11 would be. I'm worried that what I'm looking at is not what I sent you, or vice versa.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this, I might have not sent you the right document, or this. Can you go back up to the top again, Peg? Back to the very beginning of this?
Yeah, I'm having trouble scrolling just because. There we go.
Oh, no, there it is. Stay at 10. Go back down to 10. So it's 10 instead of 11. Okay. That's the number a year. So
wait a minute.
Back down to 10 in Appendix B there. Okay.
Did I go?
So
wait a minute.
Let's start here. We talked about
10,
particularly the Boulder Mountain Inn, and how putting that building on the lot in a different way would have made a difference in the impact that it has on people's perception and experience of Boulder.
Am I in the right
place?
And
we talked about the long axis of buildings and about parking on the frontage. There's item 10. Are commercial uses encouraged to moderate their visual impact as seen from the road? They are. Compliance with these standards will be determined by the Planning Commission using the scoring range and weight adopted on the commercial use checklist. And we've got to do the weights and the ranges. The long axis to commercial buildings is encouraged to be more or less perpendicular rather than parallel to the road. For buildings on a corner lot, perpendicular to the busiest road. And then below that, in item B, long walls facing the road encouraged to be relieved by the placement of entrances, windows, and other architectural features, including variation of siding materials. I didn't bring that out explicitly last time, but it's a really relatively easy and good tool for making sure that somebody does not, particularly if somebody's putting up a commercial use, some type of artisanal use like ceramics or woodworking or something, and they have your basic steel building, you've got a monotonous side to that. You can encourage people to break up the monotony of a long wall by the way they use entrances and windows and sometimes other features like the steel paneling I was talking about on the side of a hypothetical gardening center. So those two items are there. And then now go back up a couple of notches here. Yeah, keep going. Okay, one more, two more. Yeah, okay, so here, stop there.
Number four?
Back down a little.
Fine.
Go back down. Okay, six is the scale of proposed commercial development directly limited. And the answer, of course, is yes. And what we agreed on, and that made this about one-third the size that it used to be, is that no parcel in the lower density residential shall have more than 15 total parking spaces serving a commercial use, and no parcel in GMU shall have more than 50. Now, because of the way your ordinance is written, and appropriately so, you can have a dwelling on a parcel as well as a commercial use, and the parking and lot, the dimensions associated with the dwelling would be separate from the commercial. And then in order to make sure that we really can talk about and hit on the idea of compatibility, land use intensity is measured by the floor area ratio and lot coverage is encouraged to be compatible with that of neighboring properties. Lines with this relative performance standard will be determined using the range and weights that we'll need to get to. It is important, and this note here, I wanted to be sure, and we'll have to get a definition into the code if we use this this language. Compatible doesn't mean that things are identical or even nearly the same. It means that they are able to exist together without conflict, that they are reconcilable. And we apply that in human relations to compatible friends or compatible partners. They aren't the same. They don't really have to be the same, and sometimes being too much the same doesn't do a lot for compatibility. This gives the Planning Commission the opportunity to look at a project and say, okay, it's still too intense as compared with its neighboring uses. I'm not sure how often you would find that or how often you would really use this, but I feel like it is a backstop thing here that would enable you to have a discussion that you might not otherwise find a basis for having. So the changes that I made, we've now talked about. I took out everything dimensional about lot coverage and floor area ratio and just left them in here as a compatibility concern in that item C. And we're basing how you can size, determine the scale of a commercial project based on the number of parking spaces that it would have. And back in the general plan language, as you saw, we said, well, we can do that because it's not arbitrary. The the amount of parking affects traffic generation and the use of the roads, affects pedestrian safety. The amount of parking affects stormwater runoff, even if it's a gravel parking lot. It's not like having rainfall on a hay meadow. And it affects, it affects the view. Do you want to have, the view from the road in Boulder be a long string of cars? And then we've got standards about buffering parking, where the Planning Commission can require landscaping. And if you combine these, I think, you come up with a workable way of ensuring that there are not runaway out-of-scale commercial uses. One of the questions that was asked or raised several meetings ago was, what about a Dollar General or something like that? And they might fit within 50 parking spaces, but the ones that I think really work against the chain store type of thing is back down to 11, where you ask them to switch the axis of the building and to not have the parking out front. I'm pretty sure I've never seen a Family Dollar or a Dollar General that didn't have traditional parking right at the front door. And that alone is going to discourage people from doing things that are blatantly incompatible and commercial. The absence of allowing drive-thrus also affects certain types of things that people might want to do. So I feel like in the totality, we have a pretty good handle on the scale and the type of commercial. I took a quick look at the work that the other work group has done and didn't really find, and I may not have seen everything they did, so what I saw, they were working on definitions that probably are helpful to change and make consistent with some current law and conditions. There's nothing in what I saw they have done so far that conflicts, contradicts, or for the most part even overlaps with any of this. So
yeah.
I think we can integrate what they have done to the extent that I've seen it, at least, without any big problems. But the Yay. Important point now is for you to look at these standards and tell me what needs to be defined, tell me what you either understand or don't understand, and tell me if you think this is covering the ground, covering your concerns, and if it's not covering your concerns, then say, well, look, this is what I think it misses, and we'll work on what it misses and fill in that blank. Okay?
I think it's a good start. I think that, like you said, it'll be interesting to see us tie what we've learned in these classes with what they came up with as far as the table of uses.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not that this is a good start. Like I just feel like all of this makes sense. And it's nothing that I've ever thought about, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's gone in a totally different direction, and it just seems so much simpler. And I don't know, I mean, I think it's, like I said, I think it's a great start.
Good. Other thoughts or questions?
I really think that the parking, working backwards from parking, is such a good idea because it is an exact number. It's something that doesn't show partiality to one developer as opposed to another. It's just that's the way it is.
Almost too easy. I mean, I think that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, this is too easy.
Yeah.
You know, and yet it just makes so much sense, like Cookie said. you know, we're moving in a different direction. So, yeah.
It's like you called it a good backstop, and that's how I see it. I think that we're there. You've taken all of our ideas, it appears, and really worked them into this format. It's easy to read, easy to understand. And like you say, it's establishing guidelines for people who are going to be presenting projects. And that's what we want is clarity. So starting with the place to start.
Other thoughts or questions? So, is it appropriate for a non-planning commission member to comment, or how does that work?
Well, anybody can comment. We want to get this right more than we want to be official.
Latest, Tom Hoy. I totally agree with what Cookie just said, and I just add that I think the compatibility and the parking things you were talking about are particularly important. Back to the building design, I think if the Planning Commission or maybe some of the people who have been interested in this could think about, like, Poles Place and Boulder Mountain Lodge as opposed to a Motel 8, what are the things that differentiate those? And the same with, like, the recent Peterson property modular home that got put down on the corner of Fur Trail and Lower Boulder Road. It seems like that fits in really well, but some trailers don't. What is it about those things that make them compatible as opposed to non-compatible? I think maybe that's
a super good question, and one to which in the end there is not a definitive answer. You have to go with community sentiment. If we were looking in a bigger community with more different types of development projects, we'd probably set you up all with a whole set of images and ask you to rate how much you like them and do some statistics on that. I don't think that is necessary in Boulder, although if you wanted to do it, it's a possibility. The thing is that the impact that a building has on us, as people who view it, depends, first of all, on where it is. And so we regulate distance from the street. We have talked about now we're going to change the axis around here. We're going to make sure that there's only so much of the frontage is parking. We can require trees. I mean, trees are the most universally wonderful design tool there is. And so we have all these things that are not really about the building itself that make a huge difference in how we perceive the building. Then when you get down to the building, you know, the best thing I can do at this point, I think, is talk about, you know, examples, and you might find a community, a resort tourism-oriented community that would not permit steel buildings. That would be an example that I suspect would not fly so far in Boulder because of the strong agricultural component of your place there. So simple things like that are appropriate in certain places, but they only work so well. I think really in the end what you have to do is take a look at the things, you know, the color, shape, and say, you know, what would make a difference to me? What can you imagine? You know, somebody said, hey, I have a clear picture of jarring disharmony in my mind. And maybe what we ought to do is have a session where everybody picks up a marker or two and draws their idea of jarring disharmony, or photographs. So, you know, one of the things I've done with communities in the past that was really fun, takes some organization, is to say, okay, and in this day and age where everyone has a camera on their phone, it's much easier to do. It used to be I would actually get grants from Kodak to buy cameras for people. You could say that if everybody in the Planning Commission wanted to whip out their phone, and we could have a session where people said, okay, here's, and you can do it either way. You can say, here's a building that does not belong in Boulder, and you could certainly wouldn't have to drive too far to find a building that doesn't belong in Boulder. And alternatively, and I really like the positive more than I like the negative, although they both have a role to play, you know, you could say, here's my picture of what a building in Boulder ought to look like. You know, if we did a process like that, even a rather informal and simple one, then we could say that whatever standard, because we're not going to write a complicated standard for Boulder. We just can't expect that to work well in Boulder. But if we write a compatibility standard like the compatibility one that I wrote for lot coverage and Fourier ratio, compatible design, and we had a process where we said, hey, this is what it means to us. We would actually could put together a little addendum to the general plan that says, okay, we had a community meeting in which people said, hey, this is what works for me and this is what doesn't, and find out what's in common. And my guess is that you all have a lot in common. We'd have a basis, a factual evidential basis, that the community actually thought about the question, and, you know, you would have some guidance for future planning commissions. So, you know, there's certainly a way that I would recommend you approach this. And the other virtue of that is that it's tangible. If I start talking about architectural terminology and stuff, it very quickly leaves most people behind. You know, who knows what fenestration is, right? You know, and all the more technical architectural terms, there are places where that's useful, but I'm not sure that Boulder is one of those places. So if you wanted to do, you know, some sort of a little workshop, and since everything's virtual these days, it could be a virtual workshop, and say, okay, you know, show us a picture of what either does or doesn't work. And we could take a look at what people submitted and say, oh, hey, everybody has a lot of things in common, which I think would be the case. If people don't have everything in common, then we talk about that and how to navigate it. But that's what I would suggest that we do, is rather than using abstract terms like jarring disharmony that are so easy for different people to define in different ways, and they don't really have any independent meaning in and of themselves. You know, if I said, well, I'm going to ban steel siding, well, that would have independent meaning. Right, it's a material. It's terminable. You go to the hardware store and you can buy different types of siding. So, you know, that's tangible. Jarring disharmony, excessive attention are not very tangible. But you could make it very tangible by just having members of the community say, hey, this is a building that, you know, works for me. This is a building that says Boulder to me. It's compatible. And alternatively, if you want, say, here's something that doesn't work for me. This is not compatible as far as I'm concerned, and we shouldn't have another one. Or you can drive down to Escalante or Anguish to take pictures of things that wouldn't work in Boulder. There are a fair number. That's what I would say we should do, is we should just have a session on that is mainly not me talking at you, but just facilitating people showing their images and saying, okay, here's what we've got. Can we define compatible by compiling these images?
Could I just interject at this point? This, what we're talking about is being able to control commercial properties or commercial projects. Mm-hmm. This does not apply to, well, like Tom said, the Petersons place is just a beautiful little home that they've built. Mm-hmm. And all that we can do along those lines is just make sure they're in compliance with setbacks and whatever that the town imposes, but we can't really tell them what we want on the sides of their house. Is that correct?
Well, you could. What we have written up here and talked about is only about commercial. It's not about residential at all. So none of this would apply to a new home, to a new dwelling in Boulder. My thought is that dealing with the design of homes is not something that you want to get into until you actually have a problem.
Right.
I have been involved. At one time, I was the administrator of a National Historic District, among many other hats that I wore, and we were so picky that your back steps that nobody could see from the street, really, still had to match the materials criteria in the code. It was that picky, and I have to confess the wrong ones, and I was like, well, what am I doing here? But, you know, that was what the law was, and there was a good reason for it. It was an important part of that community's identity. Those historic features. So legally, if you're willing to do it, you can get down to the nitty-gritty, even with homes, but I think we should confine our conversation at this point in time to new commercial uses and leave it at that.
Right.
Well, this is Tom again. For what it's worth, I think what Lee is suggesting is an excellent process to kind of get everybody's head in the same place in terms of what do you think is compatible and what isn't. I think it would, combined with the compatibility and parking and orientation things that you've already really worked on, I think that would be, from my perspective, an excellent step in the right direction.
And this would be commercial buildings. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, I think that I agree. We need to talk about next steps anyway, but I don't want to talk about next steps before we're through this. And if there are any other questions about any of these proposed standards or areas, I mean, I asked you all to give me a list of terms to define, and I clearly would still like to see that. I would also like to have somebody read through Chapter 12 and make sure it's right. But beyond that, I feel like we've pretty much come to a stopping point here, and probably do not need another whole session on these use standards. We just need to get a draft of them so you guys can talk about what you want to do to share them with other people. And we probably need to have a session where we work on Table 1 and get the other working groups at Table 1 integrated with these ideas. That, from my perspective, based on what I've seen right now, is not hard to do. Okay? So I would say that's one meeting would be to catch up on the definitions on Table 1 and the accuracy of Chapter 12. That could be a meeting. And then if you wanted to talk about building design or not, I mean, there's nothing that compels you to do this at all. If you want to do that, I'd say that would be another meeting. And so after either one or two more meetings, I would say, although I would say that building design meeting ought to be a planning commission meeting and ought to be where the public can come chip in. You know, we could say that we have a draft. After one, we need one more meeting, I think, to be sure that we are where we ought to be, you know, and I'll work on Table 1 and getting it integrated And any suggestions for definitions that you all send me, either through Peg or through Curtis, just email me and say, hey, we need a definition of this term, X, Y, or Z, right? And I'll try to make sure that we have it. We could do that, and we'd have a draft that I think is pretty darn good in one meeting. And then if you want to add building design, I think that takes a second meeting. So that's where I see where we're at right now.
Lee, can I ask a question?
Sure.
We're set up right now for the next Planning Commission meeting's the 9th, and you're going to do work meeting, which could encompass part one of what you're talking about here, from at 6 o'clock. We start the regular meeting at 7. Would that work as one of your meetings?
I think it could. I mean, I don't think it's going to take that long to do the business that remains.
Okay.
And it would integrate what the other folks have been working on there to modify Table 1 and some of the definitions.
Okay.
And some of the work they've done, like, reflects changes in the Utah law and stuff. Some of the work they've done is stuff that ought to be carried over, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I think their time has been productive. So we could do that, and then at that Planning Commission meeting, means I've got to zip around and get ready just a couple of days sooner. That's okay. At that Planning Commission meeting, we can decide whether you want to move on and do one more session that would address the building design issues, or if you want to say, hey, we've got our draft. What else is there to do besides this draft? There's some changes that have to be made in Chapter 8 in terms of the processing of conditional use permits. They are not big changes. They might be almost unnoticeable changes in some ways, but they need to be done. And I can work on that, once we're good with where we're at. But that's not a big addition to what has to happen. So we'll do this on the 9th.
Yeah.
And start at 6 instead of at 7.
Yes. I was also wondering about the checklist, if you're going to go through that at one of these meetings.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point that I forgot, is that we need to do that. So the meeting on the 9th gets to be pretty full, but we could do all that if you don't have a whole lot of other stuff on the Planning Commission agenda.
There's only one other item that may be there that needs immediate attention, and I haven't heard from Curtis yet if it's on or not, but it would be something we need to attend to, and it's... Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just one item.
If we needed an hour and a half to finish this up and say, hey, we're good, could you still do the other item?
Yes, I think so.
Yep.
Okay. So, and we usually don't take an hour and a half to get through, but I want to be sure we have time to do what we need to do, and we can work on the checklist and the weighting and the ranges. Table 1, at least so far, I see that as being quite straightforward, the definitions. That depends entirely on you getting me your requests. We can do that.
Okay. Now, the definitions are just having to do with your development standards and what you presented in your memo?
Anything you see as you read here.
Okay, yeah.
And the development standards that say, hey, I think we better have a definition of that. And you don't even have to look up whether there is an existing definition in the ordinance or not if you don't want to. Just send me a list.
Okay.
And if I look at the existing ordinance and say, hey, there's a great definition there, then good.
Okay.
You know, and if not, then I write a definition. So I don't see that as being a particularly large job, but I just want to be sure that you're comfortable with being able to use this code and say, okay, here's what it says, and we can point to a definition of it.
Okay.
A term that you want to have defined. I obviously, based on our discussion here with people being comfortable with it, I will write a definition of the term compatible, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
That I basically have done, so no big deal. Just let me know what else before the 9th.
Okay. Okay, I think it doesn't really matter if I... People can just send them to you individually, can't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe copy
Absolutely.
Everybody. Okay. Alrighty. Good.
Nobody has to compile it or anything. I'll take care of what comes in, and that'll be what I do.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are we good?
So, yeah. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay.
Alrighty.
Great.
It's always a pleasure to hang out with you guys here on Zoom.
It's so informative and so interesting. Thank you for all your time.
Oh, I'm happy to help. Boulder is a place that I like a great deal, and I'm happy to try to help you make it work. So I will talk to you all again on the 9th then.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so that ends the work meeting with Lee Nellis on June 30th, and the time is 7:52. Thank you all for attending.